Hi, my name is Teal, and I'm your host for the SweatNet Be Amazing podcast, where we share stories of amazing women who live in our communities. My hope is that you will feel encouraged and inspired after listening to each episode. Before I start today, I just want to say thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to this podcast, and thank you for sharing it. I feel so honored to be the host and to have conversations with all of these women, and then to turn around and be able to share it with you is incredible. And so I just thank you for being a listener and for supporting it, because I'm all about women support women, and I love seeing that, and I love the community of that and what that means. So I just wanted to take a second and thank you before we get started today. But I am excited about my next guest. Her name is Brittany Hills, and she is a physical therapist here in Charlotte, North Carolina. She is a fighter. She is a strong young woman. And you wouldn't even know it if you met her in person. Like, she just smiles from ear to ear, and her spirit is so light and so joyful. But she's been through some pretty tough stuff. She lost her dad a couple years ago to pancreatic cancer. And then this year, I had to make the decision to go through a double mastectomy because she carries the BRCA1 gene. And so she did get that done, and then she went through reconstruction surgery. So she's had a lot of tough places, but always has an incredible perspective. She always sees the good. And so I'm excited to share this conversation, and I was inspired by it, and I have no doubt that you're going to be encouraged, inspired too. Welcome to the show, Brittany. I'm so glad to have you on.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm very excited to talk to everybody.
Yeah, I was really intrigued by our first conversation because you had some pretty interesting things about your life that we're going to dive into. But let's start from your whole gymnastics background. So I know you are a level 10 gymnast.
I was. I'm from a family of gymnasts, actually. So definitely makes my household very interesting. But yeah, I started gym when I was like 4-ish. And we moved around the whole world as a kid. So I got to do gym in all different countries. And then when we came back to the States and I became a level 10, I was down at Southeastern off of Weddington Road. And so my older sister, me, and my younger sister were all high level gymnasts down there. And so, my goodness, I think we spent 90% of our childhood in and out of a gym and covered in chalk and stuffed into leotards. And it was fantastic.
Now, do you have a favorite event? Like, cause I had to like break it down, you know, bars, floor, vault, like what was your favorite event?
It's hard because favorite and best at generally don't coincide. Floor was definitely my favorite. It took a little while because I was a very tiny human as per most gymnasts, but my leg muscles didn't really grow into me until I was about 13. So floor was my favorite, but I was actually best at beam, which no one really likes. So
yeah, that's a hard event.
It is way, way too many beam burns and bruises and broken bones. So floor was definitely my favorite.
So because you did gymnastics, and this is like really got me thinking, because you've done gymnastics in like other countries, how is that in compared to being here in the US? Was there a lot of difference, or how they, you know, how things were instructed and intensity level?
It was. I kind of got both ends of the spectrum. So when we moved to Australia, when I was just about 6, you have two ways to go. You either go the Olympic route or you go the fun route. And they actually had two sides to the gym. So when you went in, it was, you went the fun side or the Olympic side. And I went the Olympic side because that's what I wanted to do. And I mean, when I was 6, there were 2 or 3 days a week, I'd be in the gym twice a day. And so the intensity level was much higher there. I can't even imagine now having a 6-year-old daughter and being like, go train twice a day and have it be okay. But I mean, I loved it, so it didn't matter too much. And then when we moved to Singapore, it was kind of a mixed bag of nuts. So, I mean, we kind of had like one team. We were all different levels. There's not a ton of people to compete against in Singapore. So, you know, we kind of went back and forth, and you progressed as you wanted to or didn't want to. So it was very more laid back. And then when we moved to the US, we kind of ramped up again back into the you either want college or Olympic level, or you're just doing it for fun. And so I kind of got this fun little swing and wave of the sport kind of country to country, which was definitely very interesting, but fun. I loved it.
That's awesome. Because I think you would have such a different viewpoint, like just from all sides of it. And then when the Olympics rolls around, you kind of know, each country and how they train. And so I think that's really kind of cool.
It is. And we went to the 2000 Olympics down in Sydney because we were living in Asia at the time. So we went down there and we were all excited, and we got to the Australian team. I knew, actually most of my family knew, because they all trained in our gym. So it was cool. We got to go over and say hi and all that stuff, which just made the experience 10 times better, that everyone was like, you know them? And I'm like, I do.
That is so cool. Like, I didn't even know we were going to get to talk about all this, but that to me is so cool.
It's a very small community down there. So everyone kind of knows everyone. Whereas here you've got so many different regions. And so it's a lot more spread apart here, but we also have a much larger population.
Now, with your gymnastics, and you were level 10 gymnast, how old were you when it was like you were done?
I actually, an injury took me out, unfortunately. So I was 14, I was doing a skill on beam, and I slipped and I hit my head. And then, you know, just a couple staples, no big deal. And then like 6 weeks later, I was like, my back still hurts, something's off, it's not getting better, it's getting worse, starting to get some nerve pain. And so I went to a couple doctors and they scanned it and they were like, well, your back's broken. Well, I had no idea. And it turned out it had probably been broken for a while. I just generally, how gymnast backs are similar to dancers, they're so strong and tight that unless something happens, they don't always notice if there's an instability problem. And so I broke it. And then we found out later that I had spondy. And so the bone was broken on both sides and kind of slipping. And they told me, they're like, if you want to go back to doing gymnastics at a high level, we have to fuse it. And so I call my back bionic. So I've got some screws and rods and a metal disc and bone grafts back there now. But I tried to go back after that, and it is really hard when you can't extend. So I tried, and I was like, it's just not worth the pain. And so we actually still got it because my little sister was a fantastic gymnast and still in the sport. So we stayed in it, and I coached for a little while, and then, you know, went to college and attempted a club, which muscle memory is there. And then I'd be sore for a week. So I'm like, ooh, the muscles aren't there, but the memory is there. And so it was definitely good to kind of keep in the gym, and something that we've held close to our hearts for my entire life. So it's still there. We kind of get involved a different way now.
Well, and that just leads us right into what you do for a living, which is you're a physical therapist. And I would love to hear a little bit more about that. Like, you know, so you transitioned from being this athlete to now, like, you're helping people.
I have. And it's interesting because everyone in my family's had a major surgery. So my older sister's had shoulder, I've had spine, my little sister had a reconstructed hip. And so kind of looking at everyone's rehab as I've gotten older and knowing what it's like to be that high level athlete and wanting to get back and knowing I'm restricted, I think it's kind of helped because I have some athletes now. I'm like, I know generally what you feel. I've been there, and kind of bringing them not only physically back to where they need to be, but, you know, mentally and emotionally as well, trying to help as much as I can. So I think it's helped make me more well-rounded. And we've just seen so many injuries to sprains and broken bones and major surgeries that I think it's definitely helped going into PT school to be like, I've seen that, I've been through that. It gets better, I swear.
Well, I'm sure you see a lot of athletes, because I feel like you being an athlete and then really being able to understand when they go through something, and also probably the disheartening process too. Like when somebody is like, you know, you get like, you hit that place when you fell off the beam, I'm sure for you wanting to go back to it and being like right back in and it's not happening, like how that affects you mentally, physically, emotionally, all of that. And you understand that.
It definitely helps. And it, you know, it helps, especially when you're dealing with an athlete, to put everything into perspective. You know, you're not looking at one problem. You're looking at the physical, the mental, the emotional, the stress level that comes with, especially depending on age, what's school like with you having to now deal with an injury and be out of your sport. And let's figure out a way to kind of work as a whole with everything and all the resources we have to progress you on all levels, not just one. Because if you fix one, and sometimes you get limited in others, which can kind of cause more problems down the line. So
that's awesome. Do you deal with more female athletes, male athletes, or is it kind of, you know, equal across the board?
It's pretty equal, actually. So where our clinic is, we deal with a lot of marathon runners, a lot of triathletes, and it's very, very even spread. We've got young, old, middle-aged, female, male. And so it's really nice to get a wide variety. And like, we treat gymnasts and dancers, and which I love, because I'm like, I know what you're talking about. I know how our bodies work. And that's kind of more my specialty, is we have a gymnast come in. I'm like, I got that one.
You're like, that's mine.
Yeah, that one's mine. I'm like, our muscles fire in very different orders than a normal person. And I understand that. And it helps when they're like, I hurt myself doing this skill. And everyone's like, what? I'm like, no, I know what they're talking about.
Right. Don't worry. I got this.
And they're like, they flip. And I'm like, they flip a couple times. And then they swear they land back on their feet. They hope to, at least.
I feel like they always do. They always land on their feet.
You hope.
Yeah.
As the gymnast, you hope when you
land. Right. That's the goal.
Yeah.
It's the landing. It's all about the landing.
Oh, it is. But you learn how to fall. Like, that's day one, learn how to fall. Day two, we'll start skills. So it helps.
Well, I also know that you have a connection with oncology patients, and you actually did something for college, for school. So I was, yes. I would love for you to share about that.
Yeah. So when I was a kid, my grandfather was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And he unfortunately passed pretty soon after being diagnosed. And then when I was actually working as a clinical assistant I work at the same office now, but when I was a clinical assistant before physical therapy school, my dad was training for a marathon. Didn't feel good one day, went into the doctor, found out he was stage 4 pancreatic as well. And so they did genetic testing and found out that it's BRCA1, which primarily is breast, ovarian, and pancreatic. And I have the same gene. So we went through all the blood testing and it turns out that I have it. And just kind of through all of his treatment and everything, I found out that movement was so beneficial for him. And just to kind of combat the effects of chemo, you know, he'd wake up and he's like, I don't want to get up. I don't want to do something some days. And I'm like, let's get up. Let's get moving. And, you know, he'd feel 15 times better. And so after he passed, when I went to school, I'm like, I want to do something for people that are also going through, you know, the same kind of, you know, torture that these poor people are having to go through, and anything that kind of helps their bodies feel even like a little bit better is fantastic mentally as well. And so one of my teachers was an oncology specialist, and I partnered with another girl in my class because she seemed super interested. And we went up and we talked to him about creating an oncology program. And it was just going to be a pro bono kind of movement flow class for people. And we kind of got how we wanted the whole class to be situated. And we're like, we want to do like 45 minutes stretching and yoga, and then some strength-based stuff. And then bring in like some of the specialists from the hospital, lymphedema specialists, and just have them talk about kind of the most up-to-date research about certain things, especially like when the summer rolled around. Hey, people want to go out in the sun. How can we allow you to do that with the most up-to-date research, but also protect you at the same time? And so we took this idea to CHS down in Union County first, and the lady there was fantastic. And so we started setting up this program. It was twice a month. And then we were like, we want to broaden it a little bit because, like, poor Anson County is down there and they don't have a major hospital. There's not a lot of resources for the people. And so we also went down to Anson. They have this tiny little, almost like a pop-up emergency room. And so we brought the class there and we kind of alternated between Union County and Anson County. And we ran into some problems because with school, our schedules wasn't really variable. And anytime you're working with the cancer population, you know that like 11 to 2 is kind of their golden period. They get really tired, tend to get really tired after that. You know, in the morning, they want to wake up and just start to, you know, get their day all set. And so we couldn't start the class until like 5:45 at night. And so we kind of realized that it wasn't really working down in Anson County. And so we tried to do it up at Pineville as well, because we're like, it's more centered, there's probably more people. And we did that. I think the class in total lasted for about a year and a half. And we had some fantastic people coming in and out, and we made some great connections with the hospitals. And then when I was going out into clinical, I'm like, it's just not plausible for me to, unfortunately, kind of continue to do both. And so my teacher, he was like, well, I'll kind of keep doing it. So he kind of does it in his own time, and he goes into different hospitals and helps people still. But it was kind of my first intro to wanting to work with this population. And it was fantastic, because I was like, you know, even if I helped one person one day or, you know, 18 the next, it was great to just work with these people and see how interested they were in moving and knowing the research and just wanting to do anything they could to feel better.
That's so great. Like, you have such a big heart, and which leads us into your work with Carolina Breast Friends, which is how I met you. And what you're doing for them. Cause as soon as I saw your post on Instagram and it was, you're helping them, I'm like, what, who is this? Like, I need to meet her. Like, this is amazing. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing with Carolina Breast Friends, and then give us the backstory of why working with them is so important to you personally.
Okay. So when my dad was going through treatment, my boss at Carolina Sports Clinic, he'd actually come to the house and treat him at the house, because he's like, I don't want to go out. And he implemented like acupuncture and fascial stretch therapy. And so fascial stretch therapy was something that I got into very early before I even went to PT school. And I loved it. And I saw how it helped athletes and opened them up and got them ready for what their body needed to take on for the day. And when I saw it working for the oncology community, I'm like, huh, this is interesting. And so I went and I got level 1 and level 2 certified. And I was like, I know that this is something I want to do, because I didn't want to work in a hospital system. And it's hard if you want to work with the oncology population, it's harder to work outside of a hospital. You know, everything is a one-stop shop for them, as it should be, because they don't want to have to go to 18 places to get everything they need. And so I kind of made the decision to figure out how to help outside of, you know, working in a hospital, to kind of bring some of my services to them. And I actually, so earlier this year, I decided to undergo a preventative double mastectomy. Because of my gene, my risk for cancer, for breast cancer, was 95%. And I'd had a lot of growth in the past. I'd been up at UNC high-risk clinic like every 6 months getting scans and, you know, a couple biopsies done. And I kind of got to the point where they were like, we're kind of hitting that age where we either need to do it or kind of figure it out as we go. And I mean, if you talk to anyone, if they said that they could stop it before it happened, 9 times out of 10, they're going to say, get rid of the boobs and put fake ones on. And so that's kind of what I did. And so I went under the initial surgery in February and then had the reconstruction done in June. And I'd actually been stretching my neighbor. So my neighbor is a 2-time cancer survivor and a very close friend of ours. And I'd been working with her because she had the same surgery and all that tightness for so long. And she's like, Britt, why don't you do this with other people? She's like, when you come back after your surgery and you're ready to go, figure out a way, because she's like, it's so beneficial to me. Let's find out how I can get you involved with the right people and kind of offer your services that way. And so she introduced me to a woman that works at Carolina Breast Friends, Laura Coleman. And so I went and I had coffee with her when, you know, my body was healed and recovered and I was ready to like, okay, let's get up, let's go. You know, I'm tired of lying on the couch and I want to move. And so I met with her and we got coffee and she's like, you know, reach out to Carolina Breast Friends. Like, they have people come in all the time and help out. And so I reached out to them, and I think within that next week, they were like, Britt, come and see us. And let's see what we've got. And that's kind of how I got involved with them. And it happened a lot quicker than I anticipated, but it's been fantastic. I'm usually there about 2 Fridays a month, and I offer like 2 pro bono FSTs right now per day. And so I'm hoping, you know, as maybe demand goes up and more people hear about it and want it, to increase my hours if it's possible over there, and just, you know, get involved and help in any way that I can.
This is such a cool story. One, because when you told me about the double mastectomy and that it was a decision you made because you have, make sure I'm pronouncing it right, the BRCA1 gene, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, because the only way, as soon as you said that, the only person I could think of right off, and I told you this off the top of my head, was Angelina Jolie. Because I remember when that story came out and I was like, what do you mean? Like, why are you going to do that now? And then after talking to you and like hearing your story of your grandfather and your dad and you making this decision, you know, how hard was that for you to make that decision? How long did it take you to get to that point where you're like, I'm going to go ahead and do this? And, you know, kind of tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I hate to say it, probably took me longer than I anticipated it taking. So they usually don't want a genetic test until you're around 25. Why? I'm not entirely sure. They generally say just from an emotional aspect, it's better. And from an insurance aspect, they may not cover certain things until you're 25, because your risk, as they call it, doesn't drastically increase until after 25. And so I got tested at 23, and it just kind of sat in the back of my head for so long. And when I hit about 26, they were like, they started seeing one or two things on my MRI, and they're like, it's benign, it's just a, you know, a fibro cyst, something like that. And I'm like, okay, you know, that's no big deal. And then they're like, but come back in 6 months, we got to relook at it. And that kind of went on for a couple of years. And then I got into the, you know, I need a biopsy now. And hey, this kind of feels weird. And I've noticed that every day I'd be like, is this something? Like, do I feel this peed? Is that normal? Did I feel that yesterday? And I just remembered what like we went through with my dad. And I was like, I just can't put my family through that again. I was like, I'm high risk for so many of them. This is an easy one to just take care of before. And so I'm like, ovarian's harder to kind of monitor, pancreatic's ridiculously hard to monitor. And I'm like, my boobs, I can just get rid of them. And so they were like, yeah, your risk goes from 95% to 5. And when I hit like 27, 28, I'm like, this is an easy decision. And I found a perfect time, because you need so long to recover, especially just to do what I do, because I need to use my arms for work. And they were like, you know, you need like a 6 month time span. And I'm like, huh, well, I graduate in December and then I have boards. I don't have to start work until I recover. And I'm like, well, here's my little silver platter. That's like, here's your time frame that you haven't started work yet. You've already passed boards. Recover from the surgery, don't worry about anything. And then when you're ready to go, like light that fire and just start. And kind of what I did, and it helps that I have probably one of the best support systems on the planet in my house. It's me, my mom, and my 2 sisters, and like our 5 dogs. So it's great, because I mean, they've been there for me every single step of the way. And we've been kind of known as Team Hills for a long time. And even when my little sister was at Michigan, they were so enamored by my dad because like, even when he was sick, every meet we traveled to my little sister's gymnastics meets, and he would go and he would dress up and he would cheer no matter how crappy he felt, like right up until the end. And they actually dedicated a gymnastics meet in honor of him. And so every year, University of Michigan does a flip for chip gymnastics meet in pancreatic awareness. And so that still goes on, and we go every year, and, you know, we have all of our friends come out and we dress in our bright purple gear and, you know, go out and talk to people and kind of help also raise awareness that way. So it's definitely been a team effort in my house. So I couldn't have asked for anything better.
That's so awesome. Like girl power all the way, right?
It is. And my poor cousin was diagnosed, about a month and a half ago. And so she was like, Britt, She's like, you've been through this. And so I've been helping her kind of get through it as best I can. And because she doesn't live here. So, you know, giving her any resource I can find. And she talked to Carolina Breast Friends too, when they sent out a packet for her to be like, hey, I was like, she didn't live here, but she's about to go through it. Is there anything that, you know, you guys have? Because I got a packet. And they're like, take the packet and send it. And I was so grateful for that. And she messaged me. She's like, these pillows are the best things on the planet. I was like, I told you.
Yeah, I love the packets they put together for people. And I've done the same thing. I found out like somebody in the community all of a sudden got diagnosed and didn't know what to do. And it was like, hold on, yes. Gonna call the Pink House. Get you a bag. We'll get you a bag.
It is perfect. Cause I even told them, cause they were like, did you have one? I was like, yeah, my neighbor got me one. And I'm like, it was nice. Cause you know, for me, it's hard. Cause I was like, you know, I wasn't diagnosed and I don't always feel like I don't fit with the community that has gone through so much hell and chemo and all that stuff. And then I found this whole other community. They're all, as they call themselves, previvors, and they're all like me. So they all come from genetic mutations or, you know, long lines of family history, and they've done the same thing. And they're like, you know what, it's definitely worth it. And they were fantastic. Cause they're like, even though you haven't gone through this stuff, here's a packet, because you know what, the surgery is the surgery. It's the same thing. And so it was cool to feel like I could also be, you know, kind of a part of something. And then of course, when I was done, be like, I want to give back as much as I possibly can.
Well, I love that you're helping, like you know, you're taking what's happened to you or what kind of cards you've been dealt and you faced it. And now you're turning this into such an amazing thing for Carolina Breast Friends, but for the community in general, like just for local here. Fortunate enough to have you and have someone that truly understands, just like you work with your gymnasts, like you're the one that works with the gymnasts, you can work with people and really have an understanding of what they might be experiencing and what they're going through. So, you know, thank you for doing what you're doing and giving of yourself and your time and your expertise. So it's just, it really is. It's amazing.
It's the, my goodness, the least I can do. Cause from what I've seen, the best hope you have is a fantastic support system, no matter where it comes from. And I tell everyone that I know that comes to me with it, I'm like, I'm one resource, but I'm one of 800 that you have potential access to. And so I'm like, utilize them all, figure out which ones help you the most. Like if it doesn't work for you, then don't do it. But, you know, look at all those different avenues. And, you know, take your path. Yours is your own. This one works for me, but this one doesn't. That's okay. We're all different. And, you know, anytime I can give an extra resource to be, you know, pain-free motion or just someone to talk to while they're just lying on a table, just getting to relax a little bit, you know, I'll help in any way possible.
I love that. Well, with this all said, I want to know what your theme song is right now.
Well, it changes. It changes. Mine's a daily change, but my most constant one is definitely Fight Song by Rachel Platten. That's definitely kind of one of my all-time go-tos. Her whole first album is kind of my whole theme song. And my dad used it as his fight song, and we still use it as ours, you know, whether it's, hey, it's been a bad day, and we'll turn that song on and crank it up and belt it out in the kitchen and feel better. And so that's definitely the top of the list most days.
Well, you're definitely that. Like, for all that you've been through and the amount of time, to me, you're a fighter. Like, it's, and it takes that fighting spirit, and it sounds like that's very much like who your dad was. Mm-hmm. The fact that he would show up to meets even not feeling good and still cheering, you know, your sister on, like, that's freaking awesome. But that really shows like who your family is, like you're carrying that same fighting spirit.
Yeah, so, it's been
incredible.
It's great. And it's been a tough journey, but one I probably wouldn't change, because, you know, I think anytime something happens, good, bad, ugly, exciting, it kind of makes you who you are. And I don't think I'd be the therapist that I am, or, you know, PT or fascial stretch therapy, or just the person I am with my family and my other relationships without, you know, kind of the story that got me here in the first place. So it's not always pretty, but you're going in a direction. As long as you're moving in some form of direction, it's going to get there. It'll get better.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all of this, because I know this is a lot to you know, a lot to put out there and be open, but I know I appreciate it. And I know everyone that listening is appreciating your story and inspired by it. And that's the whole point of why we're even doing this podcast, is there's women out there that we are going through things or have gone through things. And to be able to share like what you have been through in your life is definitely going to help someone else. I really appreciate that.
Of course.
And the last thing I always wrap up the podcast with this is, if there's anything else, like, do you have anything else on your heart that you want to share with listeners?
Honestly, you know, it's your journey. What you do every day is, you know, it shapes who you are. And kind of the one thing that my dad always came up with to us is that at the end of every day, no matter how hard it was, he says, find three things that day that were good. And, you know, some days we'd have one thing that was hard to find, you know, when we're in the hospital and things were just taking a downturn. And then the next day we'd be like, wow, I have 80. And, you know, we still do it. And I think it's worth, especially in the time that we're in right now, and there's nothing easy about 2020. And, you know, based on normal experiences people are going through and people having to be quarantined and not be able to see their family, and I still do it. I mean, I'm fortunate my family's here, but I still find three good things every day that, you know, I sometimes write them down if it's a tough day. And it's definitely something that for me has helped me get through the tough days. And they don't have to be big things, but, you know, whether it is that perfect avocado when you cut it open or it's a 5-mile run, write them down, figure out, you know, at the end of a tough day, just find something that makes you feel good. And then at the end of a tough week, and you go back and you read it and you're like, I had 21 fantastic things that happened to me this week. You know, 21 things that made me happy. And you may have more. If you have more than three, write them down. And then you go back and you're like, oh, well, I had this really awful day that I had 50 bad things, but I still found these three good. And, you know, focus on those. And, you know, every day, just find your three good things.
Thank you so much for that. Like, I feel so encouraged in my own heart, and I know that people listening feel the same way. So I know for me, I'm going to commit to that, writing three good things down every day. Well, thank you again so much for being on today. This is, like I said before, this has been an incredible conversation, and I look forward to sharing it and look forward to meeting you actually in person.
Yes, I'm excited. Yes, I'm very excited, but thank you so much for having me and letting me share my story. And it's, you know, I'd love to help any way I can. So I'm always here for
people. Before I forget, okay, I was going to say, before I forget, how can they find you? What's the best way to get in contact with you?
Usually Instagram would be easiest. So my handle is movement. Actually, let me look it up so I do not give people the wrong one, because I have two. And knowing me, I would do that. It'd be like, I couldn't find you. I'm like, oh yeah, I gave you the wrong one. So it is movement physio with an underscore B Hills. And so you can find me on there or email me. My email is cscbhills@gmail.com. Both of those are super easy ways. I check both of them daily. So it's a very, very easy way to get in contact with me if you have questions or, you know, you just have something to say. I'll definitely make sure, you know, check a couple times a day and answer as quickly as I can.
That's awesome. Well, again, thank you so much for being on. This has been great. And I can't wait to see you soon.
Thank you. I will see you soon.
Thank you for joining me today. If you like the podcast, please like and share this with other women in your life. You can find out more about Sweatnet on sweatnet.com or follow them on Instagram at Sweatnet and Sweatnet Charlotte. You can follow me personally on Instagram at itsealsmart. Stay tuned for the next episode of the Sweatnet Be Amazing podcast.